Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here with you on Sunday evening.
Love being here on Sunday nights.
Yeah,
no place I'd rather be. That reminds me of a song.
No place I'd rather be. Yeah, that's a good song. You must be a music minister.
I am.
Well, I can tell.
I wouldn't try to sing it out loud.
No.
I'd just sing it to myself. Anyway, here we are.
So, hiding your talents.
Yeah. If you've been listening the last few weeks, and I can't remember how many weeks it's been.
I've been listening the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
I try to listen to something different. The show's ratings are too low.
Oh, no.
No, I know there's lots of people out there listening. And if you have been listening, or I should also say if you haven't been listening, you can go to giftofgraceministries.org and hear all the shows. Plus, find a lot of other stuff there. But we've been talking about the prophet Ezekiel getting a message from God and being told to go when the time is right to rebellious people and start out his proclamation by "Thus saith the Lord," not "Thus saith Ezekiel."
Mm-hmm.
I like to... Old King James, "Thus saith the Lord."
There you go.
Nobody says "saith" anymore. But
no,
anyway.
not too much.
But
it's a good phrase.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, God tells him, "I'm going to get you ready. You're going to say what I tell you, and you're going to proclaim exactly what I tell you, and that's what your job is." And we also pointed out that even in our time in the church, we have to proclaim that word. And we have to be the watchman that Ezekiel was. We have to give the warnings, and we have to protect the congregation, so to speak, the people within the walls. And tonight we're going to expand, well, not expand, but we're going to go to a little different outlook, a little different way of looking at that, which is from the prophet Isaiah, who, if you've listened to this show more than a minute and a half, you know is my favorite major prophet.
Major prophet.
66 chapters, yeah. And we're going to go to chapter 45.
How did he get all that done? Man,
I'm telling you, he worked.
66 chapters, wow.
He worked. Stopped once in a while and edited. And
I wonder if he had WordPress.
No, not even a typewriter.
Not even a typewriter.
No, everything written by hand.
Stone and chisel.
On a scroll. Then after he wrote the Hebrew version, then he had to translate it. And oh, no, he didn't... wrote the English version after that.
Yeah. It took a long time to copy stuff.
It sure did.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing. We should talk about that sometime on the show. But we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to have Stephen read it. We'll give you a second to flip to it. Well, most of you probably aren't flipping. You're probably pointing and clicking.
Bring it up on your
double clicking, or
open up your Bible app and
tapping it with your finger or something. But we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to center this around verses 18 and 19. But actually, 18 through 24, 25, 18 through 25 is pretty cool.
Oh, I was ready to start at verse 1.
Why don't we read the whole book of Isaiah? Oh, no.
I'm up for that. Isaiah would be happy with
someday you. We'll have an Isaiah marathon.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, it would be, it would take a long time to do an in-depth study of Isaiah.
Oof. Yeah, it would.
So let's see. How about let's start with 18 through 25.
Okay. "For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it. Not as an empty waste did he create it, but designing it to be lived in. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from some place in the land of darkness. I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, 'Look for me in an empty waste.' I, the Lord, promise justice. I declare what is right. Come and assemble. Gather together, you fugitives from among the nations. They are without knowledge who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. Come close and declare. Let them take counsel together. Who announced this from the beginning, declared it from of old? Was it not I, the Lord, besides whom there is no other God? There is no just and saving God but me. Turn to me and be safe, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. By myself I swear, uttering my just decree, a word that will not return. To me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power. Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall have vindication and glory.
Ooh.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people call the book of Isaiah the gospel according to Isaiah.
Yeah, really?
Because not only is there a lot of salvation history in it and salvation prophecy in it, and not only are there so many references to Gentiles are also going to be included in the kingdom, but there's actually, as you know, in Isaiah 52 and 53, a very dramatic description of the crucifixion 700 years before it happens.
Yeah.
And so Isaiah has really got so much in it and so powerfully stated that you can see, before we talk a little bit more detail about that, you can see that there's prophecy about salvation in this. You know, I'm telling the truth. I speak righteousness. It's, you know, and assemble yourselves and come near. I don't say things in vain. Mm-hmm. I don't say things that are not important. I'm God. There is no other. He repeats that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And because we're the watchman on the wall and because we're the people saying his message, this is the authority that our message comes from.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am God, there is no other. There is no one beside me, says in Deuteronomy and some other places. And he's talking about other gods and other powers. And in our time, we have to translate this to sort of the secular humanist philosophy that's going around, or the idea that, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe or what you think, because if there is a heaven, everyone is going there. He makes it clear that there's no one beside me, and you have to listen to what I say, because I'm the one who says the truth, and I'm the one who's salvation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this whole chapter of Isaiah, you know, I'm going to go back a little bit.
But, yeah.
You know, he says, I will go before you and level the mountains. Bronze doors I will shatter. Iron bars I will snap. I will give you treasures of darkness, riches hidden away, that you may know I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That's in verse 3 there. But, you know, he's saying, I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create the darkness. I make weal and create woe. I make welfare or I make prosperity, mm-hmm. not to confuse it with, well, you know, monetary wealth. I, the Lord, do all these things. So I, the Lord, have created this. You know, he's the maker of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying this and he's telling him, I didn't speak from some dark place of hiding. I didn't speak, mm-hmm. I didn't ask you to come and find me in some empty void waste, you know, like hiding behind in some vast darkness or some obscure place. I foretell what is right. I speak in the light of truth. Mm-hmm. You know, God speaks in our presence because it's truth.
Wow. Yeah.
And his truth and his light just splits the darkness.
Yeah.
So, this really goes with what we were talking about the last couple of weeks with Ezekiel, because when God's work comes to us and he calls us to proclaim what he's telling us, we're to speak it, not, you know, from some place of hiding.
Yes.
Not, well, you know, the Lord told me. me, come here, guys. I'm going to tell you this in secret. The Lord told me this, and I don't want you. There's not, you know, we're not supposed to, we're not, that God doesn't call us to that. God calls us to stand with Him. He's before us.
Mm-hmm.
And He goes before us.
Exactly.
You know, that whole thing of, where is it verse 2. I will go before you and level the mountains. Mm-hmm. Bronze doors I will shatter. Iron bars I will snap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to snap an iron door on our own.
Yes. This is the power of His word.
Yeah.
And if you read, you know, like I say, we could do an Isaiah marathon. But even in this chapter, what comes after what Steve just read is, you know, he's talking about idols.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, people rely on idols. When I'm God and there's no one beside me,
mm-hmm.
people rely on idols. He's the maker and the creator. And basically he's saying those who rely on idols, those who make idols, in the end, not only are they're going to be disgraced, they're going to be in a hopeless situation because, as he said, they rely on idols who can't save.
Can't save them, yep.
And he even makes a reference there that kind of points to Philippians 2, which is one of my favorite epistles, the letter to the Philippians.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't think I'm very mysterious. But, you know, if you know, Philippians chapter 2, you know, it says every knee's going to bow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, every tongue's going to profess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And, you know, he even indicates that here, if I can find it here. You just read it.
Verse 3.
No, you read it when you read the passage we were talking about.
Oh.
But anyway.
Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives from the nations. They are without knowledge who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save, or that, or...
Yeah, but he says that everyone's going to declare... He's going to declare...
Oh, 23 and 24.
Yes, I've sworn by myself out of my mouth, righteous. Unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear.
Yeah.
This is the same language that's in Philippians chapter 2, because what Paul says is when Jesus comes back, every tongue's going to declare that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And, you know, like we like to say, we're going to do it willingly, mm-hmm. and we're happy to do it, and we're happy to do it right now.
Exactly.
And we're happy to do it all day long. But the people who don't want to say it, who don't care about it, they're going to say it too.
They're going to say it too. Exactly.
And their knee's going to bow too in a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to go down on our knees and we're going to lift our hands up and we're going to be excited. They're going to say it and they're going to bow their knees in a more painful way. But everyone is going to do it to the glory of the Father.
Until he makes his enemies his footstool.
Yes. And so eventually what he's saying here has a very strong parallel to that, because eventually these people who rely on the idols, they're eventually going to acknowledge the true God.
Right. Exactly.
Now, they're going to know that, I mean, if someone dies today before Jesus comes back, they're going to still acknowledge the true God, because they're going to find out as soon as they die who mm-hmm. the true God is. If whoever's here at the coming of the Lord is going to acknowledge it, but they're going to eventually acknowledge the true God. And then they're going to realize that all this stuff that they've been told and all this stuff they've believed and based their life on is not true, is false, and that it's not a matter of what humans decide is the truth. And this is why over and over again in that passage, he talks about, I'm God and there is no other, because I tell you these things. You don't do Isaiah's plan or Ezekiel's plan or, you know, Uncle Bob's plan. The plan is my plan.
Yeah. Yeah, Isaiah didn't write 66 chapters just of his own thoughts.
No.
And of his own, you know, this is what I think. Oh, this would sound pretty good. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to like this one. The word of the Lord is given to Isaiah, and Isaiah delivers it or records it. And the truth that is there in God's word, the people that do not, or, you know, the people that scoff at the truth of God or the word of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we've talked about this before on the show, especially at the Feast of Pentecost when the, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon all the disciples that are in the upper room and the people that are there in Jerusalem, some of them think that these people are drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're speaking gibberish. Look, listen to them.
Too much new wine.
Too much new wine. And, but other people are hearing about the mighty works of God in their own native language.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus taught us and he leads us in all truth.
Yes.
And, you know, to be a Christian, and a Christian was, you know, the term Christian was really not a a term that was given with dignity or honor. Mm-hmm. It was really a slap in the face. Look at those Christians.
Yeah.
You know. But to say that you were a Christian, the early believers, the first believers understood that they shared in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus Christ in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the church today needs to understand.
Yes.
Because a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit was just for a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true, then the whole essence of the Trinity, then they can't believe in the whole essence of the Trinity.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because if God the Father, the Holy Spirit in theological terms is basically described as the crossfire of love that exists between the Father and the Son. And when God immerses us into that Holy Spirit, you know, we're baptized, we're immersed into the Holy Spirit. He immerses us into the depth of his love.
Yeah.
And in that love is truth. And that love that exists between the Father and the Son, I mean, think about it. The Spirit, Scripture tells us the Spirit scrutinizes even the depths of God. So truth.
1 Corinthians.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians. The truth scrutinizes truth.
Yeah. Yes.
That's,
yeah.
You know, that's really hard to wrap our minds around.
Yeah.
But what the Spirit does is he's the advocate for us. He makes intercession for us, but he reminds us of all that Jesus taught us and he leads us in all truth. The church can't proclaim the gospel without that.
Yeah.
And if they try to proclaim the gospel without that, they're trying to do it on their own and they're laboring in vain because God's not building the house.
Yeah.
And if you see the conditions of our churches today, a lot of people are laboring in vain because they're trying to build the house
themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, on a different foundation.
On their own foundation.
Well, that's an excellent point because a lot of people say the Holy Spirit hasn't done anything since the end of the first century.
Yeah.
Woo, first break already.
Yeah.
I just went through like two lines of my notes. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Israel, Adonai, Yasser is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai, Yasser is the Lord. Biha Olam, Padua Olam, praise his name forever and again. Biha Olam, Padua Olam, Yasser is the Lord, the God of Israel. Hallelujah, and Israel will say amen. So let triumph on every side, more than conquerors through the might of Adonai. For the walls may stand before us and must stand on every side. They come crashing down when they hear the sound of the name above all others, Yeshua HaMashiach. Triumph on every side, more than conquerors to the might of Adonai. Though the walls may stand before us, they must stand on every side. They come crashing down when we hear the sound of the name above all others, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you for your the mighty God, Jehovah Nissi, raise your banner higher, the rock of our salvation, the Messiah, our righteousness, Adonai.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We could do a couple shows just on that song. That song
is so
cool.
Oh, yeah.
But when people tell me they think studying the Old Testament is boring,
mm-hmm.
it's like, look, just in 20 minutes what we did with not even really like getting into the passage in a lot of detail,
yeah.
found all this amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just prefigures not only Jesus the Messiah, but it prefigures everything that's in the New Testament, everything that Paul's going to write,
mm-hmm.
and you see it here in its sort of embryonic stage.
Yeah.
And then when you look in that passage at verse 17, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You're going to be saved with an everlasting salvation, and it's going to be in the Lord. It's not going to be in any other way. It's not going to be in law. So this kind of prefigures Romans and Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never read Romans and Galatians, I insist that you do that.
I got to get on that.
No, I'm only joking. This is like a prefigurement of we're saved by grace because we're saved in the Lord. We're not saved by our works of righteousness or the law.
Right.
And so here it is in this embryonic form.
Yeah.
We're saved in the Lord for an everlasting salvation.
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing. And it says you're not going to be ashamed or you're going to be disgraced. You're not going to be ashamed or disgraced. You're going to be saved forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, really good news.
I mean, this is the whole essence of the gospel is that it's God's grace. It's by God's grace and mercy that we're saved.
Yes.
We can't purchase it.
Right.
We can't do anything. You know, are we called to follow God's grace and cooperate with his grace and do his will? Yes.
Yes.
But as far as our salvation goes, we can't earn our way to heaven.
Right.
It's a free gift that's given by, you know, through Jesus Christ, by his blood that he shed for us on Calvary.
Yes.
I mean, he purchased my soul at the price of his own blood.
We're bought by it with the prices.
Yeah.
Yours.
And yours, and everybody else who's listening, your soul has been purchased by the price of the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if this is the first time you're hearing something like that, and you think, well, geez, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You just ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Accept him as the Messiah.
Exactly.
And then ask him to guide you and lead you in his truth. And the Holy Spirit will do that. You know, one of the prayers that Sandy and I would pray all the time was, Lord Jesus, guide us and lead us in your truth.
Yes.
Because
he will do that.
He will do that. I mean, in and of myself, you know, I can fall back into sin, and mm-hmm. I can fall back into my old ways, but that's not what God wants of me. He wants to make me into the image and likeness of his son. He wants to make of me a new creation so that he can pour that new wine.
Yes.
Into this new wineskin that he's making.
Yes.
You know, he takes an old wineskin and makes it new. Yes. God's the only one that can do that.
That's why Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at that passage too, it says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord, when Lord is all capitalized, which means God's name, mm-hmm. Yahweh. But, you know, Israel can put all their hope in him, trust in him. And this is a prefigurement of Yeshua, Jesus, as God, mm-hmm. as the God-man, being Messiah for Israel, as well as Messiah for us, and that this is ultimate salvation that's everlasting and eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in that line in Isaiah.
What an awesome.
And it's said under, well, we shouldn't say this is said under authority, because everything in the Word is under authority. Because as you point out, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired it, breathed out the Scriptures, mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 3:16. But I always, when people commonly say to me, well, when I read something in the Bible, I don't understand it. And I grant you, some stuff is hard to understand, and that's why it's good to have a commentary or go to a Bible study and that sort of thing. But the first thing you should do is ask the author, you know, what does this mean?
What does it mean?
And he's willing to help you with it, because he didn't stop working at the end of the first century. You know, we're not just working in a situation where the Godhead is the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is here as well. And I think you did an awesome analogy there that before the break. You know, people are acting like, you know, we know the Father, we know the Son, and, you know, the Holy Spirit did some stuff before, but he hasn't done anything lately.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, he will help explain to you what's in the Scripture, because he breathed it out.
Exactly.
The Greek there actually means he breathed it out. We use the word inspired, which, you know, is fine, but
he's the author of it.
That's right. He's the author, and he's the authority here. And this is why, and throughout this chapter, God keeps saying, I am God and there is no other, because all the other idols are false. All the other claims are false. All the other promises of salvation are false. Every other savior is false. And he's talking about the physical idols that people used to make. We can bring it into our time by saying all these other ideas are false. All these other, quote, saviors are false. All these other systems of human philosophy are false. And compared to this, we can't make our own plan of salvation. And I think that verse 17 really emphasizes that. It's not like, well, I can make my own plan for salvation, and then if I follow my plan, then at the end, I'll be saved.
Right.
And that's not going to happen. And we should be, as we're talking about proclaiming the word that only comes from God, and as the prophets did, and as that we have to do, as that the leaders of churches have to do, and we all have to do it, because there isn't anything more important than the truth of salvation.
Yeah.
You're not doing anybody any favors by saying, oh, well, if you believe that's the way you can be saved, I mean, that's okay for you. I mean, if you want to think that, that's okay. I mean, if you want to do the Jesus thing, we'd love to have you at our church. But if you want to do the other thing too, I mean, that's cool. You know, you're not doing anybody any favors by giving them a false message of salvation.
Right.
Or giving them, I was going to say a false truth, but I guess a false truth is a lie. But I can say giving.
Yeah.
Or let's say a stretched truth, or an inaccurate truth, or an incomplete
You're
truth.
You're being very generous today.
Yeah. And you know, like you've commonly said, you know, every great lie or every great heresy that's ever been has some little kernel of truth in it, mm-hmm. so that people hear it and just go, well, yeah, you know, I've heard that. I read that. Yeah, I read that. And so some outrageous thought can come from it, but people can be swayed because part of it sounds true.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're speaking, what I'm thinking of and what's coming to mind is when Nicodemus mm-hmm. comes to Jesus under the cover of night.
Yeah.
And he starts to ask him, teacher, you know, he's asking him, okay, how do I understand this stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, Jesus is, and I'm going to just read from John 3 a little bit.
Yeah,
here. He says, he came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus says, how can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he can't re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answers and said, amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who was born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So Nicodemus answers and says, how can this happen?
Yeah.
Jesus says, you're the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Why don't you get this?
So as you're saying, you know, people say, I read this, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, God opens our hearts and our minds to His Word. And He enables us to understand. He opens our minds to the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a lot of years when I read the Bible, it didn't make sense to me. But once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, things just, I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I never saw this before.
Yeah.
I never understood this before.
Sure.
What, you know, it was like one thing after the other. And so he said, you know, Jesus says, amen, amen. I say to you, we speak of what we know and what we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people still today that don't accept the testimony, just like in the day of Ezekiel, just like in the day of Isaiah. And they don't accept the testimony because they don't want to believe the truth. They, mm-hmm. they want to, you know, they doubt, they scoff.
Mm-hmm.
They question. Now, is it okay to question things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to some degree, yeah. And you can question yeah. things. But if you question things at your own peril of eternal life or eternal death,
yes.
then does it make, you know, it's an obstacle at that
yes.
point.
Yes.
And you're not allowing yourself to be led by the hand of the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really have to come before God and ask God with a humble heart, Lord, show me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God will show you the truth. If you seek God's face yes. and you ask Him for the truth, He's going to give it to you.
Yes. And you that's know, the word that we have to speak.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus says, you know, you, as evil as you are, you know how to give good things to your children when they ask for it. Mm-hmm. How much more is your Heavenly Father going to give you good things when you ask Him for things?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, that passage, because I can't remember which one it's in, but it goes about how, you know, you who are evil can do good things for your children.
Right.
But in Luke's, it says, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit?
Exactly.
And so you have to ask.
Yeah.
And we talked about this at one in Messiah, having to do with the rock and the water coming from the rock.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about one in Messiah later. But it's a, you can ask the Spirit. You can ask for the Spirit to come.
Mm-hmm.
You can pray for the Spirit to come. He's not going to leave you.
Right.
He's going to show you truth, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, and just because Jesus told those particular guys, the Spirit of truth is going to come. He's going to remind you of what I said and all these other things. That applies to us too.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. He's going to remind us of the things Jesus said. And He's going to remind us of the things that happened, not only while Jesus was on earth, but as you read the Scripture
yeah.
And as you go through the whole plan of salvation, which is all through the scripture, all that is there for you to understand and to learn.
God is eternal.
Yes.
Jesus is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. They're not just for a certain, you know, it's not just for a certain time or, well, I gave, you know, I thought of the Spirit for a little while, you know, like God says, I thought of the Spirit, it like, it's not like, let me rephrase this. It's not like God one day said, maybe I should make the Holy Spirit so we can, you know, do Pentecost and then we'll just put them away in a box and we won't use them anymore. That's not what happens. And that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Because even today, even in the church today, you see people that will receive the gift of speaking in another prayer language that they haven't even studied.
Yes.
And somebody else who understands, they'll hear it and they'll understand that they're speaking in a language because that person knows that language.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, people are healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, there's great power in the name of Jesus, but one of the things that I see happening over and over again is people pray, and they're praying and they infer the name of Jesus. They don't say the name of Jesus.
No.
They infer, and we pray this in your name.
Mm.
Well, the devil's not afraid of your name.
Right.
The devil flees at the name of Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Good point.
Yeah. So the church for a long time, Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, baptize him in my name.
Right.
He says the name of the Son, and the Son has a name, and his name is Yeshua, Jesus, and you need to use it because there's the power, and there's the authority, and there's salvation.
Right. But like everything else, in our time, that's been diluted. Sidetracked.
Exactly, watered down.
Because he can't really mean that as the only way. I mean, there has to be some kind of leeway. There has to be some kind of a curve. It's impossible that all these other people can be wrong. There must be some other ways to do it. But this is why over and over again, he says, I am God, there is no other.
Exactly.
This is why as Jesus preached, you know, several places in the Gospels, it says people were amazed because he taught with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees.
Right. And if you look through the scriptures and you see all the times that people rebelled and thought there was another way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how did it turn out for them?
Yeah.
Not too good.
Yeah, that's right. So not so hot.
If you're questioning, if you want evidence, read through the scriptures.
Exactly.
And look at all the rebellions that took place against God throughout the history of scripture.
Yeah.
And you'll see that it didn't turn out well. It didn't turn out good at all. They went into exile. God had to bring them back and restore them.
Yes. Yes. We should do a show about that sometime. That's really fascinating. But when we were talking about Ezekiel, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about God tells him they'll know that a prophet has been there.
Yeah.
Because when he says the word he gets from God, there's going to be authority. That's why when Jesus spoke and they said, wow, they were amazed by his authority, everybody knew there was something different about him than anybody else who was talking. There were all kinds of people talking.
Right.
But they knew that this was a different authority, not like the authority that the leaders had.
Yeah.
It's a second break already.
I know.
Whew. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
My soul finds rest in God alone. My peace depends on Him. In that place of quiet rest, He fills me from within. He pours on me His Holy Word, Spirit of the Living God. Then He takes me by His hand and comforts me with His love. Comfort me with the Lord, new strength He gives to them. He gives them wings like the eagle, that they might soar with Him. He weaves His strength into their lives, the Spirit of Adonai. Then He gives them all of His peace to guard their hearts and their minds. Guarding take your rest, find your peace in Him. The holy presence of the Lord that fills you from within. Oh, pour on me your holy
listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
It is an awesome song. Go to WilbaMinistries.com and buy some stuff.
Can I find any of your CDs there?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I don't have any CDs.
Oh, I thought you were...
I don't even know how to make them. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someday we could put out some CDs and some teachings and stuff, but someone else will have to make them. So if I make it one CD at a time, but I'll botch it for 4 or 5 times and then get it right, and then get the next one and botch it 4 or 5 times and get it right. So it would take me forever to make.
So instead of having like a 5-book series, we're going to have a 4-book series.
Maybe a 1-book series. We'll sell it for $500. No.
That's a deal.
We probably won't sell too many.
Ardent listeners have to support us.
Was that 500 or was that 50 cents? I can't remember.
Yeah, one of the two.
But anyway, so now I'm off my train of thought.
Ezekiel is Isaiah.
I am God and there is no other.
Yeah.
So that, and I think the Lord's been telling both of us this for quite a while now, is that instead of preaching His word, everybody's preaching their word or some other guy's word or
their version of
some other sort of edited version of the word.
Yeah.
And, that's a very slippery slope, and it's very dangerous ground because salvation is what's at stake.
Right. I mean, you've commented on this too, and I see this as well. Is that, you know, people will read a commentary of somebody's.
Yes.
Instead of actually reading the actual Word of God, they read a book that somebody else wrote about something else that somebody else thought about, and you know, once you get into that, is it actually the truth of what God's Word speaks,
mm-hmm.
or is it their slant on it, their version of it? I mean, John Paul II wrote an apostolic exhortation or letter, Catechesis Tridende, about the handing on of the faith and how important it is for the person who's a teacher to be formed and well-formed and educated that they understand, and we've talked about this many times, that we're an ambassador for Christ. Mm-hmm. The teaching that we give is not our own. It's that of the one who sent me. Jesus said the same thing. I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. Yeah. I don't say anything except what I hear the Father saying.
Yeah.
I didn't come to do my own will, but that of the one who sent me. And yet, to be a disciple, Jesus says, no disciple is greater than his master.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we have people thinking that they are greater than the master because, oh, I've got this. God gave me this. And, oh, this is just so much better than what was out there before.
Yeah.
Beware.
Yes. And some of these books and, you know, if your pastors are teaching from these things, you know, you might want to see what it is before you, you know, accept the whole thing full blast.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these things aren't even what you would call a commentary, like you say.
Right.
You know, commentaries are awesome. I mean, if you have a commentary that explains something in a scriptural passage, you know, word by word, verse by verse, somebody says, you know, the Greek means this and the Hebrew means that. I mean, that's awesome.
That's commentary.
But some of these books are just like the guy's free-flowing opinion for 150 pages
mm-hmm.
about something that may not even have any scriptural references in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, it might be fine, but when that becomes the center of what you're going to proclaim, this, I think, goes against what we've been talking about from Ezekiel and Isaiah.
Right.
Because we're supposed to use his truth, capital T, and his word, capital W.
Right.
Not some man's word or some woman's word or your friend's word or whatever so-and-so at the school thinks is right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the truth here. You know, the faith was once for all delivered to the saints.
Right.
I mean, we have it here. And this passage shows so clearly that God says, I'm the authority behind this, and you better keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to just say what Isaiah thinks, that's not going to fly either.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm using Isaiah in a very real, powerful way, and that people all through the rest of history are going to know Isaiah, he's going to say what I'm telling him to say.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, as you're saying that, I get the sense that, you know, to say that, you know, as much as God used all the prophets and all the writers in the scripture, none of them, well, I want to say none of them, you know, Jesus is the one who shed his blood for the remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one point in scripture where, is it Paul or is it Paul that talks about, you know, you've not come to the point yet of shedding blood.
Yes.
You know,
that's
for the message of the gospel.
Hebrews.
Yeah. And you know, that's something, you know, if you think about it, if you're martyred for your faith,
mm-hmm.
you're shedding blood for the gospel.
Yes.
But you're not the first to do that.
That's why in 1 Corinthians, he chastises his people by saying, well, some of you say, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and I'm of Apollos and I'm of, you know, did Paul die for you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Was Paul crucified for you?
Exactly. That's
and,
what I'm getting.
And this is the kind of thing now where, you know, hey, this guy, Joe Schmo, wrote this book, and this is what I'm using now as the basis of my faith,
mm-hmm.
then you don't know where that's going to lead.
You don't. You don't. Because if you don't get back to the Word of God,
yes.
you can be let off into a whole different...
Yes. And it's there's always been disagreements in the body of Christ, and, you know, unfortunately, there's so much division, that the sad things. But in our time, we're seeing radical departures. I mean, radical.
Yes.
That would never, I mean, it makes the Reformation look like child's play. I mean, this is radical.
It really does.
Yeah.
The whole fabric of our society and culture seems to be at will of whatever anybody wants to proclaim or say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be true.
Yes.
It's just people are saying things that have no basis of truth. And they stand behind them,
mm-hmm.
which is even worse. So, you know, the absence of truth in our culture, and we'll probably have to get into this in the next show, but next week. But, you know, when the voice of one who God sends doesn't speak God's word, then who's going to do it?
Hmm.
And who's going to proclaim truth into our culture? Because culture is something that happens irregardless of what's there or who's there. If I say, well, you know, it's just too much, and I'm not gonna get into this, Lord, I don't want to be used that way. Well, then, if I'm supposed to speak truth, how is truth brought into the culture to make a difference?
That's right, absolutely.
You know, just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's truth.
Yes.
You can have lawlessness and everything going on in culture, and that's what you're going to have.
Well, just like last week we were talking about, if you have a watchman who doesn't say anything, it's like the enemy's coming, but he says, "Oh, I better not say anything."
And they let the enemy take over. So that's what you're going to have. So culture is something that happens, in time, over a period of time with what's there.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that next week. Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get into this next week.
I hope.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would be born of water and the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come upon you in all of His fullness to reveal to you the truth and majesty of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave His life as ransom, and you were purchased by the blood of the Lamb on the cross. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.